What is the last commandment of the Gospels of Christ? That's my subject matter today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week at this time over the station. Our text today is from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, and this is my last message of this Gospel that we've been in now for almost 2 years. First, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. The background of the text I'll be reading to you in a moment is that after the resurrection, 7 of the disciples of Jesus went back fishing. They fished all night and caught nothing, and then in the morning they saw a man standing by the seashore, and the man asked them, "Children, do you have anything to eat?" And they answered, "No." And then this gentleman said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." And this is what the disciples did. Now these disciples did not know that this man at the seashore was the risen Christ at this time. But they obeyed the stranger anyhow. And so they cast their nets out on the right side, and they enclosed a great multitude of fish. And then when they came back with their nets full, John told Peter, "This is the Lord." And so Peter, in excitement, jumped out of the boat to meet Jesus on the seashore. To Peter's amazement, and to the amazement of the rest of the disciples, Jesus had already started a fire. He already had fish and bread ready for them. In other words, lunch was ready to be served. And this is what we call the farewell feast that Jesus had with his disciples. Following that, then, Jesus addresses Peter and he asks him, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Jesus asked Peter this question 3 times. So we really end the Gospel of John with the testing of Peter, with Jesus and Peter in dialogue. And first Jesus asked Peter the penetrating question whether he loved him, and then Jesus gives Peter his final command. So now let's get to this final command of our Lord to his disciple, his apostle Peter. Our text tells us in verse 18, Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," that's unto Peter, "when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned at Jesus' breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus says unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." So in the closing of the Gospels, we find Jesus first giving Peter one of the most penetrating questions, and then Jesus giving Peter the most important command, "Follow thou me." And this was Jesus' last command in the Gospels. So isn't it true that the last command, or the last words of a person, many times are the most important ones? I recall that when I was a 12-year-old boy, our family went to England, and the reason why we went to England, why we left war-torn Germany, the Germany of World War II, was because there was no glimmer of hope in sight for our family of 5, our mother being a widow, and the city we lived in was 78% destroyed. My Jewish grandfather escaped to England during the Holocaust, and now he tried to help us to move from England to Canada or the United States. And so we stayed in England for 3 months. I was 12. All of us children stayed with foster parents. But once a week or so, I was able to see my grandparents. My grandmother was a Christian. And I'll never forget that whenever I was about to leave her little house, that she would pray with me at the threshold of the back door. I was not saved. I'd never read the Bible. I didn't know what a Christian was. And to me, religion was something that some people did just out of habit. But somehow I never forgot those prayers of my grandmother at the threshold of that home. Although I did not know what prayer was, I knew that since my grandmother prayed, and that since often as she prayed, little tears would roll down her big cheeks, that there was something very, very important about what she was doing. And that lingered with me every time, and it does so to this very day. Last words, last impressions are very, very important. I also fly a small private airplane, and whenever I leave the door with my flight bag under my arm, my wife says to me, "Honey, be careful." Although flying is safer than driving, yet it kind of lingers with me all the way to the airport. "Honey, be careful." I'm talking to you about last words today. The last words of Jesus in the Gospels, my friends. The last words of Jesus in the Gospels are three words, "Follow thou me." If you were to define Christianity, or to put it just into the three words, it would be, "Follow thou me," the words of Jesus. Are you getting this message? Are you hearing it? Are you into it? Are you following the Lord? Oh, my friend, we need to get it. Follow thou me. I believe that this could well be the summary of all Jesus wants to tell us after his crucifixion and marvelous resurrection. Follow thou me. The interesting thing to notice is that Jesus had to tell Peter twice, "Follow me." The first time Jesus told this to Peter, he didn't get it. And the reason why Peter didn't get it is because prior to this, Jesus told Peter how he was going to die, that he was going to be crucified, just like Jesus was crucified. Well, it's very natural when you tell a man that he's going to be crucified, he's going to think about that for a while. He can't think about anything else for a little bit. And so Jesus had to repeat the sentence, "Follow thou me," because he didn't want Peter to keep thinking about how he was going to die. He wanted him to think about how he was going to live, and that's by following Jesus. It is indeed a wonderful thing that Jesus told Peter ahead of time how he was going to die, because when that moment would come, when they would be ready to crucify Peter, he would not be fought by the devil thinking that he'd done something wrong. But getting back to this message, "Follow thou me," first Peter didn't get it because he was thinking about his death. And then Peter didn't get it because he was interested to find out what would happen to his dear brother John. So Peter responds to Jesus, "Well, what's going to happen to John? What's going to happen to this man? Is he also going to be crucified?" And Jesus' response was, "Never mind about this man. Never mind about John. Follow thou me." This is the way Jesus wanted to end the Gospels, with his great words, "Follow thou me," not with Peter's words, "What about this man?" The first time Jesus told Peter, "Follow thou me," he couldn't keep it in his mind. He could not keep it in his heart. He couldn't keep it more than a few seconds. Oh, how easy it is for us to take our eyes off Jesus and for us to put our eyes on somebody else, on something else. How often and easily do we use somebody else as a point of reference, as an example, as a standard of measurement, as a comparison, or as a target for criticism? I say it's so very easy for us to get our eyes off Jesus and to keep us from following him. So most Christians go all the way through life looking most of the time at somebody else or something else instead of keeping their eyes upon the Lord. And one reason why it is so is because the things that we see have a greater impact on us than the things we don't see, unless we're totally devoted to God. Take, for example, the children of Israel. After they left Egypt, they had the Red Sea in front of them, and they had an angry Egyptian army behind them, and all they could see was destruction and death. But there was a man of God, and he was all for God. And he was impacted, not by what he saw with a natural eye, the sea and the Egyptian army, but what he was impacted by is what he saw with a spiritual eye. And with a spiritual eye, he saw the promises of God and the power of God, and so he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, my friend, how important it is for us to become truly spiritual persons. How important it is for us to crucify the flesh in order that we may see spiritually. Because Paul says the natural man cannot perceive the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And until we leave the selfish life, the life of the flesh, we pick up natural signals and natural messages and natural images, and automatically we're impacted by these natural things and they begin to govern our lives. We need to get out of the natural into the spiritual so we can see Jesus and Jesus' power and Jesus' will and Jesus' work and Jesus' beauty, so we will not be overcome and influenced by the natural, by what we hear men say and by what we see them do. Oh, my friend, unless we are spiritual, we can't hear. We can't hear the words of Jesus. We can't hear them in our hearts. Follow thou me. And we're constantly running after something else, or we're constantly influenced by something else, something of the earth, rather than by Jesus himself. So we can say that church people can be divided into two categories. There are those who keep their eyes on Jesus, and in doing that, they follow him. And there are those who keep their eyes on men and what other men are doing or not doing. There are those who keep asking, what about this man? What's going to happen to him? No, my friend, be one of those who keep saying, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what other people are doing. My friend, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, the light that is in Jesus will get into you. The power that's in Jesus, the life of Jesus will get into you. The joy of the Lord will be in your heart, and the glory of the Lord will enter your heart, your soul, and you'll go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. I had to make that decision myself, not to concern myself with what other people are doing when I was a young man. In certain churches, there were no young people at prayer meetings. All the people at the prayer meetings were the old folks, over 60. And so I just got to kneel between these old-timers to pray with them. And do you know why young people weren't there? Because they didn't want to go to meetings with old folks. They didn't want to pray with old folks. They wanted to have their own little prayer meeting. And, of course, they wanted it short. Young person, if you don't go to a prayer meeting because the only people in that prayer meeting are old saints, shame on you. Shame on you. What is that to thee? What other people are doing. Jesus said, follow thou me. And he wants you to pray. And what does age have to do with prayer? My friend, praying is ageless. And God will hear you just as much whether you pray with young people around you or with old saints around you. It doesn't make any difference to God. And it should not make any difference to you. What is that to thee? Follow thou me, says Jesus. And so I had to decide as a young Christian, as a young man, that if I go by what other people are doing, or what other young people are doing, how they dress, and where they go for entertainment, I would never be able to be a Christian. I need to follow Jesus. You need to follow Jesus. Oh, how the natural tendency is to always see what other people are doing and what they're thinking, my friend. If we really love the Lord, we'll keep our eyes on the Lord and we'll follow him wherever he may lead us. You can't live the Christian life with your eyes on people. You've got to have your eyes on Jesus. That's the way, my friend, the Gospels close. That's the way the Gospels close. That's God's last word to us from the Gospels. Never mind about other people. Follow thou me. So, hallelujah. There is no way, there is no other way by which we can be disciples of the Lord and by which we can make it to heaven. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.